Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. God bless you. This is Aaron Williams, and this is DTW Ministries. We are excited. What an exciting time to be a Christian. What an exciting time to be saved. What an exciting time to be alive. God, we thank you and we bless you. Hallelujah. For you've come that we might have life. God, and you said that we might have it more abundantly. Thank you now for that abundant life that you've given us. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to the church. Speak now through these lips of clay. Get glory to yourself, high flesh behind the cross. Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. I speak life to every hearer, to every listener, to every believer, to every sinner, to every person under the sound of my voice. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would go forth with power and conviction, that it would bear fruit to your glory, God, even as the seeds of your word are sown into our heart. Bring forth fruit to your glory, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you, y'all. Sorry for missing our last broadcast a few weeks ago, but we're back and in full effect. We thank God for the opportunity and the media of Blog Talk Radio and the Purpose Kingdom Network. Shouts go out to our pastor online, pastor radio, pastor, whatever you want to call him. Pastor Toy, God, we thank God for her. We thank God for Brother Rob and Sister Adrian and those that are just part of the Purpose Kingdom family. We thank God for you. And we thank God for you listeners that tune in every week, every evening, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for your support, your calling in, your responses, your prayer requests, your praying for us. We thank God for you. But even as we talk about this topic, I put a topic that I put it. It's not that it's controversial, but it has been on my heart for a while. And as I read the scripture, the Lord pointed out just a few lines in the book of Haggai. And those that don't know, in our men's conference at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church, our theme this year, hallelujah, is be strong and work. And it's an old hymn written back in the early 1900s. And the first line just said, we're not here to play, to dream, or to drift. We have work to do and loads to lift. So shun not the struggle. 'Tis God's gift. Just be strong, my God. And even as I read this book in Haggai, the word of God came in the second chapter in the fourth verse, yet now be strong. After all that we've gone through, after all that we hear, after all that we see, after all that's been revealed, after all that we've experienced, yet now be strong. It's not time to faint. It's not time to pull back. It's not time to draw back. It's not time to retreat. It's not time to withdraw. It's time to be strong. And I believe that that's the declaration that the Lord is putting out in the spirit. I believe that that's what the declaration that God is putting out in his church, to be strong. And I'm going to start at verse 1. I know that I jumped just for a theme to give you a little bit of background and just to let you know where we're coming from. And because I know that the topic is, how do you see it? And that thought came out of verse 3. So I'm going to read through some of this in the book of Haggai. And just for a little bit of background, we know that Xerxes and Xerxes and the Greeks and with the Medes, the Persians, however, who, the enemies of Israel that had came against them, and Babylon, Babylon had actually destroyed Israel and torn down the walls and tore down the city and tore down the temple. And we know that the first campaign to rebuild came from Zerubbabel. So Zerubbabel was out to build the walls, but then opposition came. You know, Samaritans, they wrote letters and different things happened. And even as it continued to go on, Haggai was a revitalization of the building up of the temple walls and the real rebuilding of the city. And we know that the theme from these books in the Bible are the rebuilding of broken walls, even the walls of our heart, the walls of our lives, the walls of our spirit, that God wants to rebuild those things. But it goes that Haggai's campaign had went out. They went out with such zeal to do the things of God, but after 16 years, they still had not yet finished the project. And the problem that had Haggai began to preach and to minister to the people, because the people's desire for the things of God had failed, had fainted. They began to look around and say, hey, I'm building this temple. Hey, I'm putting all this effort into the house of God. And you know, we used to live down the street. Our walls are not rebuilt. Our houses are not rebuilt. And they began to focus on themselves and their own needs. Does that sound familiar to anyone? They began to focus on their own needs, their own monetary issues, their own physical issues, their own home issues. They began to focus and take their focus off of the house. My God, I feel that already. Off of the house of God. And as they began, because with that, with God not being their focus, the land began to not to respond. Enemies start coming not from just without, but from within. Things begin to happen that came and seemed to come against them because their priorities were not in order. This is also a call, child of God, that we need to get our houses in order. But even as it goes on, and we're going to read, like I said, we're going to read out of the book of Haggai, and we're going to speak about some things. But let me just start. And that's chapter 2 of the book of Haggai. That's in the Old Testament, and that's, I believe it's right after Zephaniah, is towards the end of the Old Testament, and right in the middle of Zephaniah and Zechariah in your Old Testament. And chapter 2 starts and says, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, and I'm going to give a little word definitions and little etymology about some of these names that are here, but just a few, not to go too deep into the names, but just to let you see. Verse 2 says, speak now to Zerubbabel, meaning, and your Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. And I looked up Shealtiel, and his name is have asked of God, the governor of Judah. And we always know that Judah means praise. So Zerubbabel was the offshoot or the offspring of Shealtiel, the governor, the watcher, the keeper, the one in charge over praise. My God, but there is, and Shealtiel is asked of God. How many of you here listening under this broadcast have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit? That you haven't been filled with the Spirit of God yet. Have you asked of God, of His Spirit? And let me keep reading. And to Joshua, a type of Christ, the son of Josedek. And Josedek just simply means Yahweh is just. So I put those two thoughts together as a name and a word definitions that as I ask of God, God is not going to give me anything unfair. But because it references the son of, I believe that this word right here is for the next generation, not necessarily the youth of the next that's coming up, not necessarily the young men and the young women that's coming up, but those that are just coming into the body experience, the body of Christ, the church of God, those that are coming into the family of God that come in and are coming in off of the coattail. Let me not put it that way, but that are coming in after someone that they've been watching has moved on or transitioned. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to say that in a minute. This is the high priest. So now we have those that are worship leaders, and we have those that are also intercessors. We know that we're kings and priests before God, but here in Haggai, it talks about being a governor of Judah, praisers, worshipers, those that usher us into the presence of God, and then those that minister for us or intercede for us, that's supposed to stand in our place, because we know that the high priest in the Old Testament was one that went in before God into the presence of God for the people. So we also know that Judah and praise is where God dwell. So I'm going to leave those thoughts with you as far as high priest in Judah. But listen, because he didn't leave anyone out. Because if someone say, well, it's because I don't have a position in church, or because I'm not a minister, or it's because I'm not a singer, because I don't have those apparent gifts that are being used. But listen to what the end of verse 2 says, and to the residue. That means those that are left. You know, after you have some sweet tea, or you have some kind of beverage, or you have some Kool-Aid that you mix up in a cup, and after you finish drinking it, you see the residue of the powder still in the bottom of the cup. So God wants to use and is using the residue as a word to let you know he's not leaving anyone out in this scenario. Whether you're a minister, whether you're a layperson, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a preacher, whether you're an usher, whether you're a doorkeeper, whether you're a utility person, whatever you do in the kingdom of God, God is talking to you, because it's the same God that works in the usher that it does in the minister. It's the same God that works, my God, on the inside of the pastor as it does the one that sits in the back of the church. Do you know that we have access to the same God? My God, we have access to the same God and to the residue of the people, saying, listen, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Who, and we talked about this a few months ago, who is it that has an inkling of what church used to look like, of what church we expect, of what church our expectation tells us? Because we all have an expectation of what church should look like. Those that have been churched, those that know about Christ, those that read about Christ, those that listen, you might have only witnessed Christ in the movies. But when we talk about the name of Jesus, the name holiness is synonymous. When we talk about the name Jesus, the word righteousness is synonymous. It's some things that when you name the name of Jesus Christ, our minds, our spirit automatically goes to virtue. Automatically goes to righteousness, automatically goes to good things. Why? Because the Lord of our soul, the Lord of our spirit, the God of creation has deemed it so, that the name of Jesus, even in a sinner, gels something on the inside. And that thing on the inside is the righteousness of God that we have in him. Who is left? Who is that we talk about, and we've been using each other as an excuse for too long. I'm a paraphrase a situation that I've seen with my own eyes, and I've seen it with my own eyes because I was involved in it. But I had a person, you know, good friend, and they still my friend. we are still family in Christ. But even as we began to talk, our conversation went to, well, you should do it this way. Why are you so disagreeable? Why? And I'm like, because I'm a Christian, I can't have my own opinion. But then, because listen, saints of God, as you let people continue to talk, they will reveal the motivation of their heart to you. As you let people continue to talk, you'll see where they're coming from. But you have to keep your mouth shut and your ears open. You have to keep your mouth shut and continue to pray on the inside. God, help me. Help me to respond. Help me to guard my tongue. Help me to guard my heart. My emotions are going crazy at this time, God, but move me, bridle me, keep me. Keep my ears open that I may hear how to properly respond. And what the person eventually said, why can't you just conform? I said, what? And when that word conform came out of their mouth, I saw that it wasn't because I was disagreeable. It wasn't because I had a difference of opinion. It wasn't because I saw things differently. It was just because I disagreed and didn't want to do it their way. So as I stated that, a little hostility came up, and I began to chuckle. And that, of course, brought up other issues. But as we begin to deal with each other, I'm going to say this. I believe it with all my heart. I'm going to keep saying it. I've said it multiple times. If you, Christian, not Christian, I don't care what you believe, if you are adamant about what you think, how you feel, what you believe, and you can state it, and you have points to prove, and you have scriptures to back you, you have experience, and you feel adamant about it, and you're staunch in that, and you're set in that, you believe it with all your heart. Listen, are you listening? You have to allow the person that you're talking to the same adamant response, the same staunch stand, the same conviction, the same ability to voice what they believe and how they feel. Listen, here's the key. Even if it's different than what you think, you can't have an unequal balance, saints. You can't have an unequal measure. That's why people get upset, because I tell them, well, you still... I only know if you stole the dime off of your coworker's desk without asking, that you stole. You can't get mad because you went back to your desk and they took $2 out your change jar without asking, because it's both stealing. Whether you steal $100, whether you steal $1, stealing is stealing. You have to have an equal balance. And what we see and what I've been seeing is people sometimes forget that they have to have an equal measure because they want it done their way. And listen, it's okay to believe that God is leading you and what God has given you is from God. But listen, God's plans is what will come to pass. Even when someone differs from you, even when someone disagrees with you, even when someone doesn't see eye to eye with you, it's God's plan that will prevail. But who is left among you that saw what it looked like? Who is left that can be an example? Who is left that has experience in what was past? And then it asks the question. That's a question right there. And listen, here's the key, because this is the topic that I want to sit on real quick. How do you see it now? And I'm waiting for the phones to light up on this, because I want to know, how do you see it? Some of us hasn't written that book that God gave us because we can't see ourselves as an author. Some of us haven't opened that business that we know God has placed in us because we can't see ourselves as business owners, as entrepreneurs. Some of us haven't lived and walked in victory because we can't see it. When you think about the church, when you think about the direction that we're going, and listen, our end of glory, our ladder will be greater than our former. What we have is moving towards greater. My God, I believe it with all my heart. We are moving towards greater. What is your opinion? How do you see it? So we have one of my great friends, Reverend Mack, is on the line. We're going to bring him right on. Reverend Mack, you're on the air. This is DTW Ministries. God bless you. Reverend Mack, is Reverend Mack on? Did we lose him? Amen. 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 We're gonna let him get a chance to call back. So Reverend Mack, if you're still listening, we lost you on the line. You can call back and we'll bring you right in. But again, how do you see it? I'm beginning to see the big picture in purpose on what God is doing and what God is trying to do in me. I can't see for everyone, but I see for me. I believe all things work together for good, but it's things that we have to experience. Listen, gold never shines its brightest until it's tried by fire. By fire. What fire are you under? Are you under any fire? Is there anything pressing, pushing, trying you? We talked about, I heard Reverend Burgess talk about it often. It's not about, God, the devil don't want your stuff. The devil don't want your car. The devil don't want your family. The devil wants your faith. But he'll use your family. He'll use your car. He'll use your finances to get to you. Why? That you may give up the faith. My God, my goodness, he wants your faith. We are all the way over here going, how do you see it? Do you see the role that you play as a worship leader in the big scheme to usher in the presence of God? Do you see your role you play as an usher? Do you see your role that you play as security? Do you see the big scheme of the organization of the house of God that you play as a lay member? Listen, let me throw this challenge out there. This is challenge number one. I love challenges. This is challenge number one. Even if you're not looking to be a minister, even if you're not looking to be a pastor, even if you're not looking to get a degree in theology or move into the offices of the church, I challenge you to go all in for God. Whatever position, whether it's just, I just want to be a good parent. I just want to be a good student. I just want to be a good son. I just want to be a good man. I just want to be a good woman. Whatever it is, my challenge for you is to go all in. What do you mean by going all in? Turn that TV off sometimes. Don't hang out so much, but daily read and meditate in your Bible. Daily pray and converse and have conversation with the God of your salvation. The Bible says in Proverbs, in all your ways, acknowledge him. We had discussed this in a little bit depth, I believe, last year when we said about in all your ways. We often talk about, we often talk to God two times. When we're in trouble, when we need something, and then when we get what we needed. But he wants us to talk to him in all of our, in my ways of jealousy, talk to him. In my ways of partiality and hypocrisy, talk to him. In my ways of lustfulness and envy, talk to him. In my ways of generosity and peace and tranquility, in my good ways, in my bad ways, in all my ways. Acknowledge God. God, this is how I'm feeling right now. God, this is what I'm thinking right now. God, this is how I'm motivated right now. This is how I'm confused right now. This is how I'm seeing it right now. In all my ways, acknowledge him. him, and his Bible tells me that he will direct. He'll direct me in trouble. He'll direct me in distress. He'll direct me when I don't have peace. He'll direct me when I'm confused. He'll direct me when I'm in wrong. He'll direct me when I'm right. He'll direct me in all my ways. But how do you see it? I'm going to keep asking that question until I get another caller. Again, Reverend Mack, you can call back at any time. We lost you on the line, but we know that you're right there on the line. But whenever you want to call back, we'll call and get you right in on the call. We thank God. I want to read something to you real quick out of the book of Ephesians. And this is one of another good friend of mine, Reverend Zorro Harris's, I believe, one of his favorite scriptures. And out of Ephesians, the first chapter, and it says this, and I'm gonna start at verse 16. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Listen to verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." God enlightens our understanding. The Spirit of God on the inside illuminates every area of darkness, every area of weakness, every area of confusion, every area that hinders you, every area of dross, every area of impurity, every area of imperfection. The Spirit of God enlightens us. Listen, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. You mean to tell me, Brother Aaron, that when God called me, that when God saved me, that when God delivered me, that when God quickened me, he had a hope about that? He had some kind of expectation, that he had something in mind when he did it? He had something in mind, saints of God. When he didn't call you, he didn't save you, he didn't deliver you, he didn't bring you out of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his dear son, into the kingdom of light, just that we may be saved. There's a hope of heaven in your calling. God has called you for purpose, but how do you see it? Listen to the verse for the next sentence in that verse. It says, "Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" That's a question that you have to self-examine. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If this is where your faith really is, this is how you'll really live. Because the Bible says that he gives up strength for the day. In Deuteronomy, it says, "As my day is, so will my strength be." I believe that by faith. So whatever comes up today, I have the strength to stand. I have the strength to continue to live in victory. I have the strength because he gave me strength for today, as the songwriter said, and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Who in this house is left? My God, I can see faces while I have my eyes closed. I can see faces of men and of women that are looking at us, that are looking at the church, that are looking at ministry, that are looking, and they want the example. They want so desperately to be the example of what Christ is calling the church to be. And right now I'm talking to you, you young man, you young woman, I'm talking to you, that if you had that hope in you, it didn't come by accident. It came because God has a hope in you, a hope in his calling, and he put it in you. We heard a message on Sunday And it talked about the favor of God that would was recognized by the coat that Joseph wore because he was a dreamer. And the encouragement was, we don't care about how many haters you have. We don't care how many people dislike you. We don't care how many people come against you. You only need one. You only need one open door. You only need one in your favor. And listen, if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you, because God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. Listen, according to the power that works in us, is working in you. It's working in you. It's working in you. His favor is working in you. His grace is working in you. His goodness is working. His mercy, his long suffering is working for you. It's working in you. So the word went out. We don't care about the haters. You continue to dream. Continue to wear your coat. Child of God, who is left that knows what it looks like? Who is left that has a desire to see the move of God? Who is left that has a desire to see the church of Jesus Christ move in God? Who is left that has a desire to see the church as it is, the body of Christ? Who is left among you? But how you see it determines how you'll react. How you see it determines how far you'll go. How you see it. Do you see it in power? Do you see it in victory? Listen, in the Gospels it talked about the kingdom of God. Christ had talked to a man that about casting out the devil. And Jesus said, listen, if I cast out demons by the spirit of Beelzebub, you know, the kingdom of heaven ain't came to you. But if I cast out demons, if I cast out demons in the name of God, then has the kingdom of God come unto you. And that continues to be my prayer. God, let your kingdom come in the casting out of demons. God, let your kingdom come in the working of miracles. God, let your kingdom come in the preaching of the gospel. God, let your kingdom come in the name of Jesus, God, in every form of the fivefold ministry. Let your kingdom come in worship, God. Let your kingdom come in intercession. Let your kingdom come, my God. Let the kingdom of God come in the name of the Lord. Is it not in your eyes in comparison as it as of nothing? We continue to have comparisons of pastors of old, of ministries of old. People are still talking about Smith Wigglesworth. People are still talking about ministers, and that's not a bad thing. But guess what? Guess who's in the building now? We're still talking about Martin Luther King. But is there another? Will John Doe, will the real minister of God stand up? Will you be accountable for the calling that's in you? Will you press to get it? Listen, what has to happen when gold is being tried? And everyone knows the illustration. We might heat up gold because it's softer than a lot of other metals, but it's very dense. It's very heavy. And as you and they weigh the carat by the weight of the purity of the gold. So what it means is if it's 10 carat, you can have a certain weight and it won't be as heavy as the same size piece that's 24 carat, because the 24 carat has less impurities in it. My God, I'm saying this, and I'm ministering to myself up in here. This because of the fire that's to try you. This is the second challenge. My God, Don't run from the trial. Face the trial. Face it head on. Face the trial. Embrace the trial. And do it with your hands up. Do it in a place of surrender. Do it in a place of humility. Do it in a place of, I can't do it without you, God. Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I can't make it. You are the branch. You are, God, the vine. I am but a branch. You are the potter. I am the clay. You are the husbandman, my God. And except I abide in you, I cannot bear fruit of myself. This is the posture of the child of God. How do you see it? I think we got some people on the line. I think they're scared. I think they're afraid to come online and say something. And I'm not going to rebuke you. I might ask the technician and those behind the scenes to hang up if you're saying something that's off the wall, or you know, to stop you, that we can give a correction, because with a live broadcast, I don't want the last word that's going out to be something that's off beat or that's off keel or that's off focus or that's off. Just off. So we try to combat that by continuing to keep and maintain control of the line when people are on the line. But your responses are not only desired but necessary, that we may have a more better, if that's a phrase, and more holistic view and approach to Scripture and to our insights, knowing that our insights are not the only, I would say, the only correct way to look at and to view things. But I'm excited about what the Lord is doing right here in DTW Ministries, as I digress some when I think about how do I see it. You know, I have a book that I'm writing, and I've been writing this book now for, I would say, about 2, maybe 3 years. I've been talking about it for about 4 or 5 years, but I've actually started writing it, I guess, about 2.5, almost 3 years ago. And it's in a composition book. And I was actually laying down, meditating yesterday, and I was just simply asking God, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I go about doing this? How do I go about doing that? And I don't know if I actually fell asleep, or I pictured myself, I was at my desk, but I was laying back in my chair on my desk, and I had my hands behind my head, and someone came up and gave me a page-size memo, and I'm looking, I'm like, okay, I looked at it walking away, and I looked at the memo, I didn't really look at it, but then I picked it up, and I looked at it, and it said, too much TV. I was like, what? And I've talked about this before, and this might just be my own personal challenge. Said too much TV. I looked at it, I balled it up and threw it in the trash, but I sat up, and when I sat up, I woke up, you know, and I was like, but because I wasn't watching TV. But we spend too much. Here's the other challenge. Download, if you have the capability to do it, download. If you don't have the capability to download it, view on YouTube or in your browser, just put time management form. And that just says time, that's T-I-M-E, time management form, and see what comes up. And if you don't have the ability to print one out, write it on a sheet of paper on what it looks like, file the format on one that you like. And all it is it gives you the time from the time you get up on most sheets. It starts at 6 a.m. and then it goes all the way down to like midnight or however late. You can make the time go down to whatever time you want. But and then just a line that says the time, and then it's about 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, all the way down to whatever time you get up, to whatever time you end your day in prayer. And on every line, write what you do. and see where you spend most of your time. I told you we did this when I went to get my associate's degree and went back to school for the first time in over 20 years. And I was like, I can't do this work. It's too much. It's too much. This is too in-depth. It's too much of this. It's too much of that. I'm rushing to get every assignment. And the teacher gave us a time management form. And that was our only assignment for that week, to see what we do. We had a lot of reading to do, but we didn't have any real work to do. And as I looked at it and wrote it down, it was unbelievable how much time I spent in entertainment, social media, going to the movies, going out, and how little time I actually spent doing my schoolwork. What are you saying, Brother Aaron? There is an attainable place in God for every child of God if they only manage their time. If you only manage your time, how much time do you really spend in prayer? I'm going somewhere with this. How much time do you want to exercise? You want to lose weight? How much time do you actually spend in the gym? How much time do you actually spend preparing healthy meals? How much time do you actually spend in information on how to care for this body? I tell you, if you follow it to the letter, you'll always be successful. There's no one that I know, that I've heard of, that did exactly what God told him to do and ended up unsuccessful. There's no one I know that hasn't turned their plate over in fasting and studying and meditating on the word of God and being under someone that can guard and guide, that they won't go off. Because I can tell you, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. I know some people that you may know that have went off on whatever they were and got off kilter because they didn't have someone to cover them. My God. But how, I'm going to leave you with that thought tonight. How do you see it? What do it look like? What does it look like to you? And here is my last challenge for those that are still listening. Get yourself a composition book. Get yourself a three-ring binder. Get yourself a spiral book. Get yourself something that you can keep to the side and have exclusively for your vision. Exclusively. This is my vision book. And write it. Write it. Write it. Write it down. Make it plain. Draw it out. Draw out the dimensions. Draw out the circumference. Draw out the seating. Draw out how many pages it's supposed to. Draw out how much you need as a loan. Draw out everything that you need that it may come. Draw out. I heard a story the other day. I believe it was Sunday. A sister was telling me that a young lady had the house, got everything that they wanted, but the house didn't have any furniture. So what the young lady began to do was look through magazines and tear out the pictures that she liked. Oh, I like that couch. She would tear out the picture and tape that picture in her living room. Oh, I like this entertainment. Oh, I like this bed. Oh, I like this table. And began to tape these things all in and throughout her house. And by the time they had got down to this woman's house, she had exactly what she had envisioned. Listen, the vision is for you. It's for a time. It will come to pass. It won't tarry. Not though it tarry, wait for it. For it will speak. Write the vision. Make it plain. I thank God for each and every one that's still here under the sound of my voice. Maybe you have not ever received Christ as Savior. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you're lukewarm, but you're in and out. You're all over the place. And you want to rededicate your life to God. You want to start afresh. Because the Bible says that daily mercies are renewed to us. That though the outward man perish, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. There's a refreshing for you right now. There's a renewing for you. And if that's you, I want you to repeat with me this prayer of faith. Because the just shall live by faith. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. For with the mouth, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want you to confess your need for God. Confess that you're a sinner, and confess that he's the only Savior. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin and wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save my soul and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask it in Jesus' name and to his glory. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart and become Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If you said what you meant and meant what you said, God has done exactly what you have asked him to do. Find yourself a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church in whatever area that you're in. As always, we always invite you with open arms, with an open door to the Deliverance Evangelistic Church under the auspices of our pastor, Senior Pastor Glenn Spaulding. That's in the city of Philadelphia. And that's 2001 West Lehigh Avenue in Philadelphia. We thank God for you, and we're going to bring on our on-air pastor, Pastor Tori Dale, and she's going to give you some further instructions in your walk and how you can correspond with Purpose Kingdom and some other announcements, and then we'll be back after she's done with final words and the benediction. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Reverend Williams. We thank you so much.
Wow. This is a promise. Wow. God bless you. I hear you sound like Pastor Tori, but praise the Lord. God bless you.
You know what? This is not a good invitation to Pastor Tori, but I'm going to do my best. thank you so much for the word that's been brought forth tonight. And we thank you so much for ministering to the spirits that need to minister to. And those that, for the sound of our voices, we thank you and appreciate you for joining us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you, whether you're joining us online or via phone. We thank you so much for your support, and we hope you continue to support us. And for the correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, send a prayer request. We gladly appreciate that. Also, you can correspond with us on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where we any response or anything that, you know, or any correspondence sent to us, we appreciate that. If you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we greatly appreciate you for doing that. You can also like us on Facebook by going on Facebook, Purpose Kingdom, and like. And you can follow us there also. If you have an iPhone, you can also not miss any of our episodes here at Purpose Kingdom Network. But there's a purple icon that says podcast. You can hit that purple icon, and then you can type in Purpose Kingdom and like us there and follow us, where you will not miss a single episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And as always, we appreciate any partnership and any support you give us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Thank you so much. Well, God's will, God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Daughters of Ruth, hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for Daughters of Ruth at the 9 p.m. hour. And we thank you so much. We appreciate everything that you have done for us, and we hope you appreciate everything we've done as far as ministry and providing a ministering word to your soul. And with that being said, we hope that if you need any more further inspiration, we do have the walk at Anchor.fm or Anchor FM. We're right there. You can listen to our morning word inspiration almost each and every morning that we provide that for you. And we greatly appreciate if you join us for morning word of inspiration. We thank you so much. And Reverend Williams.
Yes, sir.
All right. We thank you so much. We appreciate the word has been brought forth, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Amen. Brian, before you go, did we ever get Reverend Mack back? Did he ever call
okay,
back in?
We can go ahead and give him a try, and we'll just go ahead and see if we can welcome Reverend Mack. Are you there?
All right, somebody's saying something, but I can't really hear anything. So,
Okay. Sorry
about that, Rev. Love you. Thank God. Calling Reverend Mack. I think Reverend Mack's first name is John, because he'd be shouting all over the church. Reverend Mack. His first name is not John. His first name is Edward. But we thank God for him. And just to encourage you men, we have a men's fellowship here at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church every second Saturday. Every second Saturday, it's at the church. Again, 2001 West Lehigh Avenue, from 9 to 11. We don't keep you all day because we know a lot of you have a lot of running around. Saturday might be your only day off that you get a chance to actually get some things done. So we try to get you in, get you out. And this coming second Saturday in the month of July, which is July the 13th, will be across the street from the church at the, I call it the Connie Mack Playground or Connie Mack Park. Mm. It actually has another name, but we'll be having a cookout and fellowship. And we do have a caller, so since we have a few more minutes on the line, you know, we're going to bring that call in. Caller, you're on the air. This is DTW Ministries. God bless you. Are you there? Carl, are you there? All right, Rob, are they there? All right, well, praise the Lord. We're going to keep going. But like I said, on July the 13th, which is the second Saturday in July, we do have a men's fellowship that's going to be across the street from the church. And it's still going to be from 9 to 11 that we'll have briefly in the trees under the shade that we'll have. And then in August the 10th is our second Saturday in August. We'll be meeting at Reverend Mack's house at the York House on Old York Road. I believe it's 53rd, 54th and Old York Road in Philadelphia at the York House for our men's fellowship. And Reverend Mack will be our host. And we also want to invite you to our men's conference, hallelujah, that we'll be going into Be Strong and Work is our theme. And that is September the 18th through September the 22nd. Every man, if you can hold a note, you don't even have to hold a note. If you can have that, that includes you, Rob. You don't even have to be able to hold a note. If you have a black suit, white shirt, and a black tie, we want you there. If you can get away, we want you there Sunday morning to fill our stand with men that are going to be singing to the glory of God as we end and bring the culmination of our conference to a head, where our pastor, Pastor Spalding, will be bringing and giving us a word. And we're thanking God for our pastor, and we're thanking God for the move of God that he is displaying in our midst. We thank God for, we want to encourage you also that listen to our broadcast, whether it's Daughters of Ruth, whether you got Minister Burgess or Adrian, you know, D-Block Church, whatever ministry, whatever the news, whatever you're listening to on Blog Talk, and you say, well, sometimes it's too late, I got to get up early. We want you to take advantage of those archives, at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/PurposeKingdom, and look up your favorite broadcast. Not look them all up and just listen at your convenience. You might want to do it on your way while you're driving in to work. You might want to do it while you're getting ready in the morning. You might be able to listen to it during the middle of the day. Those archives allow you to listen when you can. You know, we know that everyone's not a night person, but if you have the availability to listen, or you think someone would benefit from being able to listen but can't because of time constraints, you know, point to them the archives where they can listen at any time. So we're encouraging you to do that. And, you know, we do still have, and we're moving towards getting another single out, but we do have still on media outlets, I believe it's still on iTunes, CD Baby, and Google Play. Rend Your Heart by Reverend Aaron Williams. That's me. My CD, I believe it's A Blessing to the Body of Christ and to those that love gospel music. To go ahead and purchase that online. You know, let me know. Give us a shout out. Let us know on PurposeKingdom @gmail.com how you like it, what you think of it. You know, we'll be loving. We'll just enjoy to hear back from you on that. But even as we move in purpose, listen, children of God, God purposed us for greatness. Listen, you are destined for greatness. You are purposed for greatness. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen through osmosis. And osmosis is, you know how, osmosis is putting an open Bible under your pillow, thinking that the scriptures, you'll wake up in the morning and know scripture without actually reading the scripture. By pressing in, these things happen by pressing in, by denying ourselves. God gives us and shows us what he wants us to do. But once we see it, we now have to begin pressing. As we press into the things of God, the purposes of God will be pushed out of us. I believe with all my heart that those that are under the sound of my voice, there's purpose in your life. But your purpose will be manifest through your ability to push through the press. How do you see it? If you won't see yourself as God sees you, if you don't see yourself in victory, if you don't see yourself in love, if you don't see yourself in humility, if you don't see yourself in obedience, let me tell you, half of the battle is fought just because of what you know. I remember the G.I. Joe movies. He said, I didn't know that that could happen like that. And he would always end saying, well, now you know. And knowing is half the battle. The Bible says my people are destroyed. Listen, not because of a lack of church, not because of a lack of power, not because of a lack of anointing, not because of a lack of preaching, not because of a lack of opportunity. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, a lack of what they know. Listen, that we may know him. That's our prayer. God, in the name of Jesus, even as we end this broadcast, we pray that the words of our mouths and the words of our conviction, the words of your spirit that has spoken to our spirit, would gel in us, would gel in us and quicken us to move into the hope of our calling, the expectation of heaven, your desire for us, that your will be done, that your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.